So I think about that lawyer that after 635 was built, this guy had everything. I mean, he had hot and cold running, everything. I mean, he was a wealthy man, and he was driving one of the fanciest BMWs, and he pulls out in the field out there one day and reaches in his glove box and pulls out a 38 and puts it to his head, about 30 years old, 35 years old, and he's fixing to end his life. And the radio, for some strange reason, a program come on with a preacher on it. And he started listening to this preacher preach. And in a few minutes, he takes the gun down, gets on his knees, and accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. Totally changed that man's life. Now see, he was a fool. He spent money right and left, made a fortune. He was an excellent attorney. Couldn't hold on to none of it. Couldn't keep nothing together because he was a fool. He had never found the one ingredient that he'd been looking for. And that night he found it. And today that man is a totally different man. Now he is not a fool any longer. He's a son of God. But it says, wealth is a crown for the wise, but the effort of fools yields only to folly. Now then, if you can take some wealth and you're a wise person, you'll be able to increase it, hang on to it, and you'll be able to prosper. And you'll be able to do great and wonderful things with your money. But if you're not, you spend it for everything in the world that you don't need. And, I mean, I did that when I was young. I had a good job flying airplanes, and it paid good money. But did I save any of it? No. What did I do with it? I bought stuff I didn't need. You know, I just spent it. Didn't have a dime. Lived from payday to payday. Now, I know none of y'all ever had that problem but me. But I lived from payday to payday. And then one day the Lord says, I need to train my son how to control the money I give him. It doesn't make any difference. I give him a little over here, and now I've trained him, and he's become an airline pilot, and he's making lots of money, and he ought to have learned how to control this, and he's not. So he said, I'm going to lay him off and show him what it's like not to have anything. And so he did. I wound up with no job. And so I had to struggle for a while. But it taught me something. Don't spend all you have. Spend what you have to. You know, don't buy nothing on a credit card. Nothing. Only use a credit card if you've got to have something and you know you got the money to pay it off next month. That's the only way to use a credit card. Only way. But don't buy something you're going to put it on your credit card planning to pay it out by interest and time payments. That's the most expensive way there is. Whoa, is that terrible. That's awful. It gets you in big trouble. But I learned a lesson right there to just try to live as lowly as I could, make my house payment, try to keep my utilities as low as possible, buy groceries the best way I could, everything, and then what I had left, put it in investment, save it. So the Lord showed me how to do that. And over the next 15 or 20 years, as I learned how to do that, I guess it was 10 or 15 years, all those investments that I started putting aside and started drawing good dividends because I went to several Christian counselors. I didn't know nothing about investing. So I went to several. They told me how, and I began to invest my money. And that's how I built that house over there and paid cash for it as I went. When I got through with that house, I had paid for that house in its entirety, didn't borrow one dime to build it, and had enough money to furnish it with all new furniture from top to bottom, and didn't borrow a penny. Now then, I thought that was very wise. You know, it's nice to have had a home like that and build one that big and never have to borrow a dime or make a payment on it. That house has never had a payment made on it since it was built. I love it. But it says, wealth is a crown for the wise. And, of course, now then, you know, God has blessed me in my older age, you know, although I'm not working as an engineer anymore, with my retirement that I have coming in, my Social Security, and the little bit of money I have from the gas wells and everything, I don't have no bills. It's nice to have that money. It just keeps building up and building up. You know, so I think, wow, isn't that nice? That's nice. Praise the Lord. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only folly. Because the average person, when they get, the average person when they get 65 years old, which is what most people consider retirement, they have virtually no money in the bank. And if they don't keep working, they can't keep going. Most people can't. Now, some people are wise and they have the money and they get 65 and they think, man, I'm young. I'm going to work because I just want to do something. And so they go out and work and make more money and so they can bless others. You know, and they become a blessing to many people. And of course, God made this body to work. He didn't make this body to get 65 years old and sit down and do nothing. And most of those that do that, they don't live very long. And so that's another thing that we need to learn. The body was built to work. And the more you work, the more fire you have in you. If you don't work very much, you don't have much fire in you. But if you work a lot, you got a lot of fire in you. Work brings profit. But mere talk leads to poverty. Work brings profit. Wealth is a crown for the wise. The effort of fools yields only folly. 25 and 26. A truthful witness saves lives. That's us. We're supposed to be that way. We're supposed to gird our loins about with truth, which is the Word of God. And we as Christians, we're supposed to be a truthful witness, and we're supposed to save lives. Now, how, as a truthful witness, can you save lives? You can lead people to Jesus, and you can save a life beyond your wildest dreams. Because every human being on this earth that does not know Jesus Christ is going to lose their life. And they're going to go to a place called hell, and they're going to dwell in this place. And yet, Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago and spilled His blood on a cross and gave you and me this free gift of salvation. Then He told us to go out and lead others into the kingdom of God. And if we go, we're wise. If we don't, we're foolish. But a truthful witness will save lives. But a false witness is a traitor. A false witness. So you don't care if you lead anybody to Jesus or not. So you don't tell nobody. So you're a traitor. I mean, can you imagine having the most awesome gift in the world, which is salvation, and it's free, and you never led a single person to Jesus in your entire life? Wouldn't that be awful? It'd be awful. Hey, I did that for 25 years. I was a Christian, I was a Sunday school teacher, and I was a deacon. And when I was 36 years old, I had been saved for 25 years. If you'd asked me, and the question was asked me one night, how many people have you led to Jesus? You're a deacon in the Baptist church. I thought, I never led nobody to Christ. I thought, wow. He did tell me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I haven't done that. So I had to get on my face before God and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I have never led anybody to Christ. So I began to study the scripture in detail. What all I needed to know as a human being, as a spirit-led Christian, where the scriptures were, which different scriptures I could go through to lead somebody to Jesus. So I began to go to classes. I mean, I went to them in Dallas. I went to them in Denton. I went to them in Louisville. All over the place. I'm trying just to learn how to lead somebody to Jesus. And then I made a commitment to the Lord. I wrote down on a piece of paper, Lord, I, Thurman Scrivener, will do the best I can in the next 12 months to lead blank number of people to Christ. Then I come back and I said, Lord, I need a number to go in that spot. I said, I, Thurman Scrivener, will do the best I can to lead 10 people to Christ in the next 12 months. And I wrote it in pen. And then I looked at it, and then the flesh took over. It says, you fool. You've been a Christian for 25 years and you ain't never led one. And in the next 12 months, you're going to lead 12. I thought, there's no way. But I said, Lord, I ask you for that number. And you gave me that number. I know you gave me that number. I said, Lord, I'll just make myself available and you be the instrument, but you use me to bring people into the kingdom of God. within a month, I brought my first young man down in Louisiana to the Lord. And slowly but surely thereafter, within that next year, I led 10 people. In 12 months, I led 10 people into the kingdom of God. I begin to see, hey, if I make a commitment to the Lord, what He'll do. So then that makes me want to jump out here to Lance and say, Lord, I want to go out and cast out devils and heal the sick in the name of Jesus. Amen. And what did He do with that? He's done some wonderful things with that. He has really done some wonderful things. We've seen Him do awesome things. Then it says, those who fear the Lord are secure. Do I have to be concerned about anything? No. I have a reverent fear of God. As I was reading in, I read 1 and 2 Samuel the other night. I was just sitting there at my desk, and I'm reading 1 and 2 Samuel. And I don't remember exactly which scripture it was, but it says David, when he was a young man, had protected this one man's goats and sheep out here, him and his army of men out there. They wouldn't allow nobody to get to this man and his flocks. So the time came when they needed some food for their camp. So he went and asked the guy, actually asked one of the servants, if they could have a few sheep or whatever. It was sheep shearing time. So he said, while you're doing this, would you mind giving us a few of your sheep or goats to feed our families, since we've done such a good job in the last year, and let no one harm anything or steal anything from you? And so the servant went back and told the man. And the man said, no, who does that heathen think he is? I ain't going to give him nothing. Now, you know, God says something about hospitality. He says He likes for you to be hospitable. If you don't, He'll curse you for 10 generations. That's kind of scary too, isn't it? And so David got real mad, and he said, okay, we'll just go back and we'll kill him and all of his servants, and we'll take everything he's got. Because David had a little army of 600 men. And so you couldn't fight against this if you're just an individual with a few servants. So they're on the way to wipe this guy out. They're going to kill him. And the man's wife heard about it. And she took some, they told what all she took, a few sheep and all this kind of stuff. And she ran out there with her servants, and she bowed down before David and said, my Lord, we're so grateful for what you've done for us, and all this is yours.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.